If you know the song, it kind of plays to the mental games we fantasy pundits play, plays to the mental games that we play as anglers. And those that can beat the mental stress are on the Elite Series, and those of us that can't sit in the offices of the Bassmaster world.
But, dude, give yourself credit. You're elite among content creators.
I can type a blog, and I can record a podcast and with the best.
You can shoot a video, too.
Oh, hey, welcome to Inside Bassmaster. We've been having a great time on the show talking with anglers. We've been talking about the life stories of some of the game's best, and that includes the likes of Justin Lucas, Dustin Connell, Matt Heron, Randall Tharp, Matt Lee, and many others. It's been a lot of fun. We've got more of those to come, but we're actually looking at the first Bassmaster Elite Series Tournament of the Year. Jim, it's here already. Jim Sexton in studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I'm glad to be here with you again, and it's time to officially fire up the season. Of course, we've been working on it and thinking about it for months, actually. But it's a week away.
It's a week away, and it doesn't matter how much you prepare it. It kind of seems to catch you by surprise. But for us, we're in a good position. We're coming to you from the Twin Towers at the Bassmaster Studios overlooking beautiful downtown Birmingham, which happens to be a mere hour and 20 minutes from Lake Martin. So we don't have a long ways to travel, and there's a bulk of the anglers that are going to be around here. In fact, a large percentage, probably one of the larger percentages of anglers are fishing their home lake of Lake Martin. There's a lot of guys that live nearby. So it's going to be interesting how it plays out. And also joining us on the phone is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Ronnie Moore. And he's going to weigh in on all of this, too. Ronnie, thanks for being a part of this.
I appreciate it. I'm definitely a man. I don't know about myth or legend yet, but I'm here.
Well, I'm glad that you're confident in at least one part of that. That's the important one. Anyway. So, and normally we have Coy Greathouse and Pete Robbins with us. Weren't able to make it this time, but we'll have them on for the Classic. And we're going to read their selections for you. And with them not being here, that opens up the door for us to criticize them and make fun of them, even though Pete and Coy are probably two of the better players at this game. So, if you have not signed up yet for Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing, please do so. You can go to the homepage of Bassmaster.com, and at the top right there is a Fantasy Fishing tab you can click on, or you can go directly to BassmasterFantasy.com. Sign up, join a group, pick your team, and you're going to have a lot of fun. This is actually a very rapidly growing part of our sport. It's something we enjoy. And while there is a little bit of luck and conjecture involved in what we're about to talk about, something that we've learned over the years is you look at the top 5%, and a lot of those players are pretty consistently there. So there is some science to this, and we think this year we're going to crack the best science available through our pundit stories, which is really a way of me telling you that they're really just a bunch of garbage and we don't know what we're talking about if you look at our numbers, but hey, we have a lot of fun with it. So let's jump right in. In fact, I'm going to get my selections out of the way. Jim has become our stats guy and our numbers guy, and I know he spent a lot of time preparing for this. And I'm just going to go through my selections, and I'm going to tell you why I've picked them. And then we're gonna jump on to Coy and Pete's selections. And Ronnie, feel free to interject here as I'm going along. I'm sure you'll have some commentary as we go, and same for Jim. But let's start with Bucket A. Now, we start these buckets out, A through E, largely dependent upon the 2017 or the previous season's Angler of the Year finish. And so at the very bottom of Bucket E, you're going to notice there's some names, some talent there that probably doesn't belong. And I'm going to agree with you. There's a lot of names here. For example, Chris Lane. We know he's going to crawl out of that hole he's been in, but some of the new guys, some of the rookies, while rookies on the Bassmaster Elite Series are not necessarily rookies at bass fishing, like Wesley Strader is a prime example. We've got Shin Fouquet, who has been fishing for a long time. So just because they're in Bucket E does not necessarily mean they belong there or will stay there. But you want to have good selections throughout A through E, so it's good to have some, I think, trustworthy guys there. Let's jump into Bucket A for me. I went with Dustin Connell, and the reason I did is he is a Coosa River spotted bass phenom, and while this is not the Coosa River, it's right next door, and the spotted bass in Alabama, he lives right down the road. I think he told me he might even be staying at home for this event.
That's right. He did say that.
And we know that because we did a podcast with Dustin. You haven't heard that yet. That's going to be coming out in a couple weeks, so pay attention for that. But I think that he is going to have one of the strongest hands to play at this event. He won last year. He's proven that he can hang with this level of anglers, and he talked a lot to us about how important it is for him to earn his fish. And with the new rule this year, the no information rule, I think it plays right into his hands. Spotted bass are going to be key, And who knows, he may end up the river during this tournament. So I think that the internal river rat that he is might come to light. So that's my Bucket A selection. If you want to read my story, I'd recommend you do that. It's the local flavor that will dominate. And my dark horse selection in Bucket A is Jacob Wheeler. Obviously, the guy's good with a drop shot, good with his electronics, and I think that's going to become a factor in this tournament. So I would keep him on the short list, too. If you're looking at Bucket B, Jesse Wiggins, another second-year pro that almost won last year at Cherokee. We're going to have similar conditions, a similar fishery, and likely a similar technique where they're going to use a drop shot or a Damiki rig or finesse presentations. We know he can hang with that, and he's not new to winning. He won three opens in his short 22 tournaments, something like
that's
that.
Right.
So that's a pretty good average. Now, this is where I'd love to have Pete on the show, but my dark horse in Bucket B is Steve Kennedy. And I'm not sure that I'm not going to change to Kennedy before they blast off, but this is his home lake, and he's a very competitive pre-spawn angler, and I don't think the fish are going to be in a pre-spawn pattern yet. It's going to be probably more winter type scenario, but that's to his strengths. He's proven he can hang. He's been here a long time, and every time Pete did not pick him,
He did well.
So
basically, my strategy is to wait to see Pete's picks. When he doesn't pick Kennedy, I'm going with him.
Well, and Kennedy reads this stuff, and he gives Pete a hard time. In fact, I received a text already. Right. I'm sure Ronnie's seen this as well. He's a little bent out of shape that he didn't pick him for this one.
And this coming week, I'll tell Steve that I like him more than Pete does.
Yeah.
Just so he knows.
Yep. And it's something to think about. Also, in Bucket B, I would pay close attention to Matt Lee and James Elam. Both guys coming off very successful seasons. Both guys are pretty good in a cold water situation, and I wouldn't put it past either one of them to show up. So good options in Bucket B. Bucket C, this is where I differ from, I think, everyone else on the pundit staff here. I picked Paul Mueller. I think what makes Paul Mueller especially difficult to beat in a tournament like this is he's good at multi-species angling, and he has spent the last 2.5 months on the ice fishing vertical. Mm-hmm. So he's already dialed in on that watch your bait on the graph, catch fish. He knows how that works. And
I like that pick. You know,
surprises.
I'm looking at the temperatures just a little while ago, projected for next week, and the launch times, you know, we're going to be in the 30s, 35,
it's gonna be cold.
34.
Yeah.
Warms up into the low 50s by the afternoon, but it's going to be a cold start, and I tend to think some of the southern guys, particularly Florida guys, get a little, you know, they get tight with
the
cold
like
weather. They don't like it. They're not as comfortable. Whereas a guy like Mueller, you know, 35, he lives in Connecticut. So,
and he's been a consistent guy. So I see him. He's going to get one. He's going to get a win one of these times. But
you know, he's going to come out there. 35 degrees is going to be nice for him.
Now keep in mind, when we go through each one of these buckets, that doesn't necessarily mean we're picking the winner in each bucket. We're picking guys that are going to do well, move up the rankings. We'd love them all to be 1 through 5 in the final standings, but that's unlikely. So I think Mueller's going to make a check. I think he's going to have a good showing. Another option in Bucket C is Matt Herron. Terrible year last year for Matt Herron. He knows it. He's angry, and an angry Matt Herron is one to be feared. He's going to show up to Martin, which happens to be a lake he's fished many tournaments on. He's confident there. He knows how to fish it. He's going to do well. And then, of course, it would be tough to overlook Justin Lucas. In fact, I had him slated originally, but he's got so much ownership that it's not going to do you much good to move up the rankings if you do pick him. But look for Justin and Matt to make a great showing this year, and I think they're solid picks in Bucket C.
With Matt Herron, how much weight has he lost now?
He said 30 pounds.
30 pounds when we saw him a month ago.
Yeah.
So
He's eager.
So that means his boat's going to be faster.
That's right.
He's going to have more energy. He's going to have more energy. He looked great.
Yep, he's getting there. Bucket D, Greg Vinson is going to be my selection here, and I think that's just obvious. He lives in the area. He's very accomplished on finesse bodies of water, and he knows Lake Martin very well. I don't think it needs a lot of explanation, but I think he just lives a half an hour away, probably staying at home in his own bed, going to be rested, comfortable, ready.
Prattville.
Yep. So he's on the top of my list there, and a good couple other options here. Brett Height, Chris Zaldane, and Keith Poche. Keith Poche is also from Alabama.
Lives here now.
I wouldn't say he's a hometown favorite on this lake, but he's been quiet, but he has had some good tournaments in the past, and it might be the kind of dark horse if you pick him and he does well. It's going to be a good score.
Well, I also heard that Poche was probably one of the most underrated guys for pre-practice. He was probably there 4 weeks. Somebody said, another pro that was around, said that he had spent 4 weeks of pre-practice just before the cutoff there. So he might be one that didn't post on social media that he was a Lake Martin, but be sure that the other pros out there saw him fishing plenty out there.
So that's good information, Ronnie. Write that down. So I would certainly keep him on your list if you're looking for a dark horse. But and Brett Height, a finesse fisherman that does very well in tough conditions, came off a very uncharacteristic tough year. He's due to have a good one. So Bucket E, I'm going with Shin Fouque, is a veteran professional angler, spent a lot of years on the FLW, is a finesse fisherman. I think that I just look at this scenario as I'm going to get a check out of Fouque, if not a better finish. So I think that's a pretty safe bet. Otherwise, Wesley Strader is a guarantee, but the guy's going to do well. He's got a lot of ownership, so you got to think about that. So there you have it. Bucket A is Dustin Connell. Bucket B, Jesse Wiggins. Bucket C, Paul Mueller. Bucket D, Greg Vinson. And Bucket E, Shin Fouque. So that is my selection. I'm going to hand it over to Jim. Ronnie, do you want to argue with me at all? I'd like it when we argue. What do you got?
Well, I was going to compliment your Paul Mueller pick. I like it because it's 2% ownership in Bucket C there. Paul Mueller's a great cold water angler, like you said, and I think that a lot of these early tournaments in the year, people, you know, pick those renowned pros. That's why you see some of these guys like Justin Lucas with 31% ownership. Yeah. They pick those because they just don't know how the season's going to go. You don't know if a guy had a bad year last year and he's going to continue it. So a lot of these people pick the sure bets in their opinion. So all these underrated guys are like 1.3, 2%. So I like Paul Mueller out of all those 2% and below guys on this list.
Well, we're supposed to argue, but I appreciate the compliment.
I do like that. But there's a couple guys in there that I think that I'm kind of decide. I'll save some of my picks for my stuff. But I think that the weather is going to be really interesting. It looks like it's going to be consistent all the way through from now till the event. But I think that could throw a wrench into some of these anglers' game plans that they might have had from the pre-practice period. Mm-hmm. So I'll just save that as a little tease.
Well, we're going to get to that. That's going to be real quality information. Before we go to Jim Sexton, I'm going to run through Coy's picks real quick. Coy is probably one of the most scientific book nerds when it comes to this, reads a lot of stuff. And Ronnie, I'm sure you guys probably hold a candle to each other. You're into this stuff in a different way, which is important. And I suggest you read Coy's story. You can find it on the fantasy page. It's called Think Locals and Experience at Martin. And I think that he's kind of got a similar mindset as I do. But his Bucket A is Casey Ashley, and his dark horse or his alternative pick is going to be Jacob Wheeler. Both are pretty good decisions. If you look at what Casey Ashley did at Lake Hartwell a couple years ago, that's probably going to be an underrated selection.
Yeah, it's interesting. His strategy on that, he says, is with Casey Ashley, is that, you know, momentum in tournament fishing is so critical.
Yeah.
And so with Casey, you know, the second tournament of the year for him is going to be the Classic on Lake Hartwell, which, of course, he won in 2015.
Yeah. Super cold.
So it was cold. But in terms of just firing it up and being ready and coming into this thing ready to fish, you know, Ashley's going to be ready. He's going to be trying to start that momentum train in February.
Especially looking at Hartwell as the next tournament for him. So
interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, and he doesn't have a ton of ownership. I don't think he's topping that bucket at all. So Jacob Wheeler, again, it's going to be hard to not slide him in there. But bucket B, he's got Michael Iaconelli. That's a good decision.
I think it is, too.
I think he's angry after last year, and he's happy that he made it in as he did, but I think he wants to not be in position to rely on someone else to earn him a Classic berth. So Iaconelli is a good choice. His alternative selection, his other pick in Bucket B, is Jason Williamson. That's also a good selection. Right. He had a strong start last year.
I think so, too.
So that's something to consider. Bucket C, Mike McClellan. This is, I tell you what, I like where I'm at in Bucket C, but Mike McClellan is a great selection. I think Ronnie has this. We'll find out, but that's a good choice. And his alternative pick in Bucket C is Justin Lucas, and we've talked about that. I think you're gonna do well selecting Lucas this year, but if you want to make some climb some rungs on standings, keep that in mind as you're looking at Bucket C for this tournament. D, Vinson, we agree on this one. In fact, he was questioning us as to why others had not selected Vinson in Bucket C, and I think that's a good choice. So, this is an interesting one. His alternative choice is Timmy Horton. He's from Alabama, too, so it makes sense.
He's a pretty far piece away up in the Florence area. He's probably, I don't know if that's 3 hours away.
It's an hour and a half from here.
From here and an hour and a half down there. So it's almost 3 hours.
It's manageable. And, you know, Timmy won last year for the first time in a decade.
And at Okeechobee. So, you know, I think an interesting choice. Note, Timmy's such a veteran that he has probably fished Martin a fair amount. But I think that's bold.
Yeah,
good one.
It is. I guess we'll find out. Moving on to Bucket E, and this is an interesting one as well. Ray Hanselman is a rookie this year, rookie by our standards, but I think he's has quite a resume of success in his past. So as a rookie, that doesn't necessarily mean he's incapable. So I think that is going to be the kind of selection that will earn him some points, because I doubt that Hanselman will have a ton of ownership in that bucket. So that's bold, Coy, definitely bold, and I think it's a good one. And his secondary pick is David Fritz. David Fritz is a renowned crankbait angler, and a lot of guys are alluding to the fact that a crankbait could play. So I think that's a pretty wise choice. Good selection. So let's run through his A through E one more time. Casey Ashley in Bucket A. Bucket B is Mike Iaconelli. Bucket C, Mike McClellan. Bucket D, Greg Vinson. Bucket E, Ray Hanselman. That is Coy Greathouse's selections. And listen to Coy. Coy has some good stuff. In fact, he opens up his article with some good information. So, Jim, what do you got?
Well, let's see here. Let me first tell you just a little bit of my strategy.
It's read all of our pundit stories and pick
some,
from that.
You know, some may say this is an excuse, but I don't think of it that way. Last year, early in the season, I missed a tournament. You know, it was just one of those deals where I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and, you know, it comes Thursday morning and the tournament's starting, and I'm like, dang, I didn't fill out my team.
It cost you, too.
Anyway, it cost me bad. I had a pretty good year except for that. So you zero on one of them, and, I mean, gosh, you can go in there and throw darts and get some points.
Yeah,
so,
better than zero.
So anyway, my strategy after that was literally the day the buckets open, I go in and pick a team. I don't spend any time on it. I literally just pick, first thought that comes to my head. I look at the bucket and pick the guy that I'm most interested in doing and have confidence in. So, and then I typically will come back toward the end after I've thought about it more and maybe done a little bit of research and seen the blogs and seen who's catching them and change it. So what you're getting here is my initial shot at it, which is, I think, actually has some value. For myself, I find that I can overthink this,
and
sometimes just my first reaction, who I think is going to do well, is a good pick. So these are my first reactions, and the interesting thing, which I think I'm going to change up, is I am 100% local. I have gone 100% locals, which is typically not a good strategy. This one is a little unique.
There's a lot more local anglers this time, though.
I guess maybe that's it. So anyway, in Bucket A, I've gone, same as you, I've gone Dustin Connell. I think Dustin, he's lives close by. He's fished that lake a lot. And I think, you know, he's going to get some points. He's going to do well. The other guy that I've kind of thought about, who's a close friend of Dustin Connell, we've learned, is Russ Lane.
Yeah.
Russ, the percentage ownership for Russ is only 0.9.
Ooh.
I think he's an interesting pick too, and
that could be a dynamite pick.
I think so too.
He's due, right? We talk about that once in a while.
Boy, wouldn't it be fun to see him win one? Dustin Connell is only at 6.4%, and it's interesting. In Bucket A, no one is dominating Bucket A. The angler with the most picks at this point is KVD at 13.2.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there's a lot of hammers in this one.
Yeah,
they're pretty spread out in terms of what people are liking.
Well, you know, and Greg Hackney isn't getting a ton of love here, and there's a good chance that a jig is going to play. And
yes.
So you have a lot of choices to make, and it's a tough bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably the toughest.
That's right. All right, I'll go to Bucket B now, and what I've done in Bucket B is I've gone with Steve Kennedy. The fact that he is now I got to see if Pete picked him. Let's see if I'm going to change.
No, Pete did not pick him.
Okay, all right. So Steve Kennedy, he grew up on this lake. He knows it so well. It's probably going to mess him up. You know, he's got a lot of memory of this lake and brush piles and everything else. So I've got Steve Kennedy in there. He's got 10% right now in the bucket. So not a huge number of picks there. It's interesting. Thomas, Jesse Wiggins.
Jesse Wiggins, I think has...
I think Jesse's a great pick, too. He's at 17.1%, and that's the tops for that.
He's right behind Randy Howell. Randy has 17.2, so we're a tenth off. But
yes.
It's a red flag here.
And Mike Iaconelli has 16.5, so those are your three top picks. I'll tell you the other, I think, smart pick in this bucket, which I may think a little harder about, is Kelly J.
Yeah, another local angler.
Another local angler, a good angler. I think this is his fourth year on the – this is going to be his fourth season.
No, I think this is his sixth, actually. He's been really quiet. He's done five elite seasons so far. And this will be. He's actually gone up every year in the AOI standings, and then this year he barely missed a classic in the 40s. So.
Yes. Yes,
he's had really some, stout.
I think he is too. What was it last year at Texas Fest? He was fighting actually to win that thing.
Well, and
Rayburn, yeah,
Rayburn
and Champlain. Didn't he lead for a day of that?
He was. He took the Bass Track lead on day four and had everyone and thinking he had it won, and then he lost a few key bites and then ended up in the top five. So. Great showing, though.
So I like Kelly J in there. I'm currently holding on Steve Kennedy, and we shall see if I stay there.
Hey, we should put this disclaimer out there. We do reserve the right to make a switch.
You can change your pick until 6 a.m. On Thursday morning.
And we're not looking. We're not looking to lead astray, but as fantasy. The best fantasy players know sometimes you got to go with your gut. And
that's
that
right.
We might have to make a change, but
yeah, exactly.
We're hanging on to what we got for now.
All right, Bucket C. I'm liking Matt Herron in Bucket C. I think Matt Herron, like you said, Thomas, he didn't have a great 2017 season by his standards. And so he's working on several things, working on his physical fitness and his weight, as we mentioned, and I think he's going to come back with a vengeance. He has fished there a lot, and I could see Matt doing quite well. Yeah. He's got 11.2% right now. It's interesting. Lucas is the big vote getter in this bucket. He's got 30.9, so a huge swath of people.
And I think that's a safe bet. I mean, if you're going to pick one guy that's heavily owned in this entire tournament, that's probably Lucas. Your best one.
I mean, Lucas is another one. He didn't have a good. Right. He didn't have a great 2017. So he's going to be really focused.
I think Ronnie, you mentioned this was his worst season of his career, 2017.
That's right.
Across FLW and everything. So don't look for Lucas to play nice this year.
All right.
100%.
Moving to Bucket D. Bucket D, staying local. I can't get out of the local mindset here. Greg Vinson, I'm picking Greg Vinson in Bucket D. He's at 12.2% ownership right now. It's interesting. Timmy Horton has got 24.6% in this bucket.
that local flavor is hanging
on. Local flavor. And I don't know if a lot of people will look at his, Alabama address and think he's got, but he's 3 hours away.
That's a lot closer than Connecticut or California. I mean,
You're right. No, you're right. Even, he's closer than those Tennessee anglers. So, but I'm liking Vincent. I think Vincent is he's a quiet guy. He's a hard worker. He needs to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Having known Greg a little bit over the years, he needs to do well. He needs it would really make a wonderful story for him to win a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being at home would be really gratifying. So that's bucket E for me or D for me. Now let's go E and. The guy with the highest percentage in Bucket D is the guy that I have picked at this point.
Chris Lane.
And that's Chris Lane. Yeah. Chris Lane's at 35%. I picked him before that percentage was that high. Chris is such a recognizable figure. And so coming into this bucket, you kind of go, oh, wow, Chris Lane is in E. I'm going with him. I do think, momentum is such a strong factor for Chris. He had... is it fair to say he had 5 years of great momentum?
Yeah.
From 2012, where he won an Open and won the Classic. After that, it seemed like, I don't know if it was four straight years where he got some kind of a win.
Right.
Elites or Opens every year.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been three. But anyway, strong momentum. And when momentum went the other direction for him, it didn't seem like he could get out of it last year. So... Is he going to be able to turn the corner and get back to being the competitor we know that he can be?
Oh, and he needs to start at this tournament.
He needs to start here. Yeah. And I think that's probably lesson learned for him is when you start bad, sometimes it's hard to pull out of that.
That's an interesting selection.
That tail dive.
That could pay off.
So we shall see there. So that's my lineup as we speak right now.
Would you like to run through?
Yeah, I'll run through Pete.
Pete's?
Yeah, I'll go through Pete. I'm looking at his right now, Pete Robbins. He has started out in Bucket A with Ott Defoe.
And that's a good choice.
Gosh, that's a strong choice. I think that's, Ott had a great campaign in 2017. It's his kind of waters. Mm-hmm. It's not that far from home for him. So I think that's a great choice there. None of us had picked Ott. And so I think.
Yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
The Godfather. Secret weapon.
All right. The Godfather comes rolling in here with. That's a strong pick, I think, by both of you. So his kind of wild card that he's liking is Brent Ayler.
Yeah, and that's a good choice also.
Ultra versatile, lots of bit winnings in Bass and FLW, so that's his number two. In Bucket B, he's got Jesse Wiggins. He starts out by saying it's tough not to pick local hammer Kelly J.
Mm-hmm. Which ends up being his alternative choice in that bucket. So.
Yeah, exactly. But that said, he's picking Wiggins. Wiggins started so strong last year. And
he's good in Clearwater and Spotted Bass.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got.
That's right. That's right. He, too, picked Mike McClellan in Bucket C.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting and I think a great choice. In his alternative for Bucket C, he's going with Bill Lowen.
Bill Lowen, yeah.
Who will spend the year riding in an aluminum boat.
That's right.
Switch that he made.
There's a good blog about that on the homepage of Bassmaster.com. Find out why.
Yeah, yeah, right now. It's a really interesting choice by him.
Yeah.
It feels like it plays to his strengths as a shallow water angler. And in Bucket D, he's got Brett Height. For similar reasons to what one of you talked about,
mm-hmm.
Thomas, yeah. I think as a be throwing his chatterbait and so adapted a wide variety of techniques. His alternative is Chris Zaldane,
mm-hmm.
who had a tough year last year and needs to bounce back.
He's a great finesse fisherman.
Exactly, and no doubt he's going to come back really focused
and
ready to hit it hard. In Bucket E, he has gone with Shin Fouquet. I think. Both you guys who have picked Shin, that's a great choice, and you're going to get points there regardless of whether he wins it or just does well. So that let's see if he's got an alternative. He does have Ray Hanselman as his alternative, a Texan who follows the motto of former Raiders owner Al Davis, just win, baby.
Yeah.
Well,
and here's the deal. Pete Robbins is a competitor big time on this fantasy fishing thing. And his number one overall goal every single season is to beat Ronnie Moore.
And remind us, did he last year?
Did he, Ronnie?
He did. I had two terrible events right at the end of the year. I didn't have enough time to make it up. It was one of those deals where you pick the angler who's been on a high note and he has his worst tournament of the year. I had that two back-to-back weeks. And so I, kind of threw my hands up and had to catch up in the last 2 weeks, and that wasn't possible. So
they beat me. Now, why don't you tell me how you're going to catch up? We've revealed all of our picks, and I'm looking forward to hearing why you've selected yours. So floor is yours, Ronnie Moore.
Well, for my five picks overall, there's a couple that duplicate from what you guys have already said. I try to be a little different in my mindset, so I actually named my story specifically targeted around the weather. I think that the weather was going to be a big factor in Alabama. It hit or miss. Sometimes they're spawning in February, and sometimes they're still winter patterns. So,
and it's worth noting, Ronnie, before you get into that, this winter in Alabama has been one of the coldest for the lifetime locals that they've remembered.
It really has. It's like we've had like a real winter.
I've loved it.
Serious winter.
Yeah, for a northern guy, I've been able to wear my jacket every day, get to wear long johns once in a while. It's good stuff. So you're right. Weather could play. Carry on.
Well, and that's the big thing. I see a lot of these guys fishing, just fun fishing, and they're breaking ice to get to the ramps, and they're busting ice to get to their spots, and that's not unusual for Alabama. So I think that this has been a good year, almost like a reset. Sometimes we have a quick spawn and it goes for 3 or 4 months and you kind of don't know where the fish are in their process. Well, this hard winter kind of reset the whole ecosystem, and it's kind of like, here's our winter pattern, then they're going to go pre-spawn, and then they're going to be spawned, and it's going to be, I feel like we're going to see a lot of heavy flurries of fish rushing the bank to spawn at a certain point in the year. So I think because it's been such a harsh winter, I wanted to keep an eye and make sure that it hadn't warmed up too much to get those fish ahead of track. But it seems like the weather from now to the tournament, when it's done, is going to be in the 30s to the 50s, like you said earlier, Jim. So I think that consistency is going to be good. But I think one underrated thing, picking these guys, is pre-spawn anglers. We don't have many tournaments a year pre-spawn based. Last year, Cherokee was pre-spawn, but it was like deep smallmouth pre-spawn. This is a southern pre-spawn, and I could see so many things playing. I could see vertical fishing, brush pile fishing. I could see someone burning the banks with a red crankbait or a jerkbait. You know, just there's going to be so many ways to win this event from what I've seen, and I feel like my bucket A pick, Ott Defoe, is probably the safest. If I had to put my money on one angler to at minimum get a check, it would have to be Ott Defoe, just because just his classic resume. Classic normally is the starter of the year. Last year it wasn't. It was after two events. This year it'll be after the first event. But his whole history in the classic has been fantastic. He's fished six classics, and he's gotten a top 12 in five of them, which is normally the first event of the year.
Did you notice how Ronnie said Ott Defoe?
Defoe?
Yeah, he kind of wore out the beginning of it like it's got two E's, like Defoe. But yeah. I like it. I'm not sure which is right.
I'm trying to be like Dave Mercer.
Dave, how he
winds up and says it.
Defoe. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm admiring it.
There's passion behind it. There's passion. I see your secondary pick here is somebody we mentioned earlier. So. A good one.
I think that's what I was saying about the whole diversity of it. I think a lot of those guys with the big stick, dirty water, shallow at least, could be a Greg Hackney. I see some rain in the forecast for weather, so that's why he's my backup pick for bucket A. I don't think he's going to be worried about the cold. And we saw at Hartwell a few years ago, the last cold classic we had, for the most part, he was in the top five after day one. So that was my backup, Greg Hackney. But I only picked one Alabama angler for my starting lineup out of the 18 that are on the Elite Series this year, and Matt Lee was the guy. I think that with it being cold for the most part and the fish haven't transitioned a bunch, I think that pre-practice means a lot. And I know Matt Lee spent a good amount of time down there with Kelly J himself and then just fishing with buds on Lake Martin. I feel like that's going to help him find those brush piles easier, or at least go check the ones he already has found to see if there's fish in them. And then I have a warm water guy, Randy Howe. I expected him, you know, maybe a crankbait, like I talked about earlier, may factor. Randy Howe obviously shown his promise and his prowess with a crankbait early in the year. My bucket C basically met.
Wait.
Randy Howe, we hadn't talked about him at all.
No.
I mean,
and that's a solid pick.
I'm trying to sneak it in there.
We need to talk about that a minute, because we've been talking Alabama anglers, and we have not mentioned Randy Howe.
I know, and you said there's 18 Alabama anglers? That's a big...
18 Alabama anglers.
There are 18 Alabama anglers.
Do you offhand know what the next state of strength would be? Would it be a Texas? I don't know.
It's probably a mix between Texas, Tennessee, and maybe Florida. I know there's probably five or six in each of those states at least.
But I would bet it does. I bet it's doubled.
Is not close.
No.
It's amazing.
For sure.
And a fair amount of these guys have moved to Alabama. Yeah. Randy Howe's a native of North Carolina. Justin Lucas, a native of California. You know, there's a lot of that. Probably at least half of them.
But you also look at, you know, who had close years, tough years. You know, Randy Howell didn't have the greatest year. You know, he's a solid pick there. And I think Matt Lee, now before we wrap the show up, we're going to make our Angler of the Year prediction starting now between the three of us. But I think that Matt Lee is one of the strongest, most underrated selections here, because we talk about momentum, we talk about somebody. I think he found himself last year, had a tremendous season, had a great finish. And you look at his years past, Matt Lee is one of those guys that I could see locking down Lake Martin is first victory. So I think that's a great pick. I cut you off, Ronnie, so on to bucket seat.
No, you're completely fine. I kind of – Randy Howe's such a high ownership in that group, 17.2, that I think it's going to be a good pick, but you know how I like to avoid those really high percentage guys. And so when I picked Matt Lee, it was before a lot of these picks came out and a lot of these people set their teams. So 13.8% for Matt Lee is not a bad percentage. I'll take that. If that's getting to be – the high point of what I like to pick, but both are solid for sure. And I think that one thing with Matt Lee real quick is that his practices have to be calculated. Mm. He is probably the most opposite angler compared to his brother of anyone in the field. His brother's kind of, I'm just going to go fish down the bank if it doesn't work out. And Matt needs to have that calculated effort. So like you said, he will knock it out of the park and win one of these because when his practice calculations line up with the tournament and he hits home runs on every decision, it'll fall all into place for him. And I could see that definitely happening at some point.
Good stuff. Bucket C.
Bucket C, I got Mike McClelland. He was picked by Coy and Pete. Kind of took the fun out of it because I thought I had a ace in the hole and a card in my pocket here, and they picked him as well. But, man, he is – when you think about jerkbait fishermen, you think about KVD, Hank Cherry, Kelly J, Mike McClelland is a top five jerkbaiter in the Elite Series for sure. And I know – I mean, he has his own dang signature series model jerkbait, so that should tell you all you need to know about him in cold water. And I think that he'll be able to catch – plenty of spotted bass, plenty of largemouth on the same stretches of bank with the same lure. So I think that's a really good positive that he's not going to be dialed in on one species or another or one type of cover or another. He can throw that thing, whether he does the deep size or the shallow size, anywhere. So McClellan's my mainstay pick. I'm probably not going to change him. Even if Mike McClelland broke two fingers and couldn't jerk his jerk bait as good, I bet you I'd still stay with him.
Mm.
But warm water guys that kind of thought about might play too is Bill Lowen and Randall Tharp. Not necessarily maybe for the river portion of Lake Martin, but just for getting up in the dirt. Some of these guys I could see focusing on their trolling motor electronics and graphing fish and staying vertically. And I could see Randall Tharp and Bill Lowen taking their transducer off the front of the boat because they're going to be scraping the bottom everywhere they go. I could definitely see those two doing that. And let's remind us, it might not win the event, but last year at Cherokee, Cliff Crochet was leading with all largemouth. Mm-hmm. The only 20-pound bag of the week, he was close. He had 19-something. Day one at Cherokee, doing something totally opposite of how it was won. So if someone can do it on day one and capitalize, they can probably make it to the weekend and survive. So that might be a factor. But
And the momentum factor, you look at Lowen and Tharp, both had terrible years. Both very disappointed with the 2017 productivity. So I think they're going to look at starting the year strong as well. So they've got a chip on their shoulder, and it's a new season for these guys. It's a chance to start over clean slate. So I see them going in with nothing to lose.
Uncharacteristic for sure.
Yep.
For those two. So Bucket D, I'm going with – I had talked about Brett Height. He was my cold water guy. And I ended up going warm in this bucket just because of the way the anglers lined out in bucket D. I picked Andy Montgomery. Lake Martin has probably more docks than any other lake in Alabama. Mm. Smith Lake's probably close, but I'd say Lake Martin has just as many docks for how small it is compared to the vastness of Smith Lake. So I think Andy Montgomery with a jig, I think a jig's going to play a factor, and I feel like if he could pick a tournament to skip a jig all day on docks, this would be the one for the year. We're not going to have too many tournaments this year where docks could factor. It doesn't seem there's Chesapeake, they might factor, and a couple other places, but this one is a big-time deal. And I think he can get fish moving up with a jig shallower, and I think he can fish deep with it as well. So Andy Montgomery was my pick. No, it had nothing to do with my Carolina connection, but I figured I would bring that up real quick.
I think, Ronnie, it's like year two of a streak where he's always got a Carolina guy, like every tournament, at least one.
You know, I was actually – I'd forgotten about that until he mentioned it.
I wonder if it's contractual. Like, he has that in his contract. Okay.
Well, Ronnie is no longer a Carolina guy, so you kind of question his loyalty.
Good point.
I know. I got to make it known, at least, you know, that, hey – My heart still resided there for the most part. But no, I think it's just the versatility, especially early in the year, those docks, whether they have brush on them or rock around them. I think that docks are just a great transition place that you can find fish in all stages, even if it's December 31st. You know, if it's the coldest day of the year, there's still fish on docks. If it's the hottest day of the year, there's still fish on docks.
Well, so it's also the time of year. It's also the time of year where warm temperatures are going to heavily impact fish activity, and we are looking at a couple days in the 50s with sun, maybe even in the 60s, and so that is going to push fish up, and it's going to make them active. So I think that's actually a great selection, probably the best one you have on your list, I think. But Bucket E certainly has me interested, and I want to know what you're thinking. Wesley Strader,
my good bucket.
Choice. I think it's
That Bucket E, like we talked about, is a mix up of guys who didn't do so great last year in the elite standings, rookies. And then we also have those newcomers who maybe aren't classified as rookies and compete for the Rookie of the Year title, but they're new to the Elite Series. And so, man, Wesley Strader, he just catches them. He is Gerald Swindle 2.0, in my opinion. They're both very funny guys. They'll both shoot you straight if you ask them what's going on. But then they're also the guys that, hey, I've fished nothing but docks in practice, and they wouldn't hesitate to just not hit a dock the entire tournament, just go fishing on other stuff. Those two guys kind of, to me, are probably the best junk fishermen, if we had to classify them as something, in the whole field, is they'll just drop their patterns from practice and they'll just go fish what looks good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the best, especially in the spring when everything's changing. So Wesley Strader's mine. And then I picked rookie Bill Wiedler. He is put in a lot of time to qualify for the elites. He did great at Chickamauga in the Opens. And, you know, he's getting used to the finesse game from what I know. I know he's a big power fisherman, but I know that he's also from Helena. So he's right around the Birmingham area. And he's pretty close to Lake Martin. And he probably put in his time for sure. If he pre-practiced enough during the Opens to qualify, I guarantee he's going to give it a shot in the elites and to fish as much as he can, especially with it being so close. So
and
Bill Wheatler's an underrated guy.
And we talk about the value of time put in beforehand. And you know, he's another Alabama guy, another local angler. So there's a lot of these local guys spent time on the lake before the lake went off limits. So
I got one thing to say to add. Now everybody's put their picks out there. Yeah. They've shown what they're thinking. Jordan Lee's not on anybody's fantasy fishing. I mean, come on. What's wrong with you people?
You know, Ronnie just said something about junk fishing, and I put probably Gerald Swindle as one of the best junk fishermen there is,
yeah.
But Jordan Lee is also a tremendous junk fisherman.
Dude.
So we didn't talk about Swindle.
And we don't have Swindle on here. We don't have Jordan Lee. We don't have last year's AOI winner showing up on anybody's pick. So
all right, so obviously, we've overlooked some people that are probably going to do well, but the way fantasy fishing is set up is largely based on Angler of the Year from the prior event, and this means 2017. So we can't select everybody that we like, but I think that Swindle, Palahniuk, Randy Howell, and Howell has some ownership, but these are guys that we didn't talk much about, and I think that they're going to show up. Jacob Prosnick, we didn't even mention his name.
Yeah, Prosnick, I think, is going to show up strong.
So before we wrap this sucker up, I want to go through and make a Angler of the Year prediction, and I'm going to give you guys five guesses. If you want to make just one, you make just one, but I'm going to give you my top five for Angler of the Year in September 2018. Jim, actually, I'm going to let you make your selection.
That'd be great, because I got to jump quickly. But I hadn't thought about it, so I'm going to do it off the top of my head. And we just talked about a couple of guys that are, I think, going to be coming back really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys who, for the first 3 years of their careers at Bassmaster, were in top 10 every year.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Prosnick and Justin Lucas. Both fell out of that group strongly in 2017. Prosnick into the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
He made the Classic only via the bracket tournament, and Justin Lucas ended up in the 50s?
60s.
61, something like that.
Yeah.
So I think both of those guys are out to prove that they're back. And so I'm picking those two guys. You know, if we have five guys we can pick, I'm going to go ahead and put Brandon Palahniuk back in there.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him. When's the last time we had a situation where somebody went back-to-back?
KVD.
KVD.
Yeah.
10 and 11, right?
KVD.
Yeah, exactly. So there's three. This could be the year for Ott Defoe. I think that's a strong possibility.
My list is looking weaker now.
He's been pecking around there.
Yeah.
And getting close and getting better and better and better. So I'm going to go with four rather than diluting it with somebody else.
But those are strong selections. Now, we should write these down and come back to them at each event and see how they're doing in the AOI race. But, yeah, I think that's a great way to start. And I tell you what, we're going to find out how it goes. Ronnie, what is your top four or five, whatever? Who'd you pick? Top of your head.
Well, I'm going to pick, I don't know, it might evolve from here, but I will go ahead and say that I actually did this with 10 buddies in 2017. We picked the winner of each individual event, and it was kind of like golf. We picked the winner of the event, however they fared, that's how many points you got. At the end of the year, the lowest score wins. And so with that, I picked the winners of every event, the Rookie of the Year and the Angler of the Year. And, boys, I picked Brandon Pollenick last year, so I'm trying to go two for two. I'm picking the right guy and of me doing this. So my all-in pick, if I had to pick one guy, would be Ott Defoe. I think he's going to win AOR this year. And if I had to throw two or three other picks in there, I definitely like the Oklahoma boys, Jason Christie and Edwin Evers. And then I think someone who's going to be underrated this year, it's hard to pick against Kevin Van Dam.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to sneak up and pick one very soon, and I feel like I saw someone tweeted at us the other day saying that KVD is past his prime, he's washed up, and I was like,
yeah,
that's
right.
A flaming hot take. He's gonna get another AOI. So those are my three or four picks. I feel like Ott Defoe, gun to my head, that's my pick. This season just feels like him. We go back to where he's won before. I think some of the unknown fisheries that we're gonna go to this year play out in his favor, and I feel like he's gonna knock a home run out of the park right here at Lake Martin. So I'll pick Ott Defoe.
Well, now, I realize this is going to evolve, but I do want to refer back to these lists as the season goes on. So I've got this in my story, and it's something I think that's worth looking back on, especially if your guy wins it. If one of the guys you selected wins AOI, that makes us look a lot smarter, Ronnie. So hang on to that list and make sure you know. Here's mine in no particular order, although I think most of these guys have been named, and I'm going to give a little description why. My number one selection for the 2018 Angler of the Year is Ott Defoe. I can't argue with that. He is one of the most consistent anglers on tour, and he made a good run at it last year, had a great season, had a couple tough tournaments that took him out of contention. But I think he knows that, and he's well put together, and he seems to improve. I mean, you're right, Ronnie. He seems to get stronger and stronger. I look for him to make a great appearance at the Classic, and maybe we're going to look at a Classic Angler of the Year championship out of Ott Defoe for all we know. So definitely a good selection. My number two is Jacob Wheeler. Look, he's no spring chicken to fishing. He's no spring chicken to fishing unfamiliar waters. And when we have the likes of Chesapeake Bay, and which is not unfamiliar, but it's not one we go to very often, and Lake Oahe in South Dakota, that's going to play to his strengths. So those tournaments that are, I think, going to set guys up to be mentally out of it or struggle, look for Jacob Wheeler to be strong in. And shoot, Ronnie Moore, I think coming into the Angler of the Year championship, Wheeler had a chance at the Angler of the Year this year, just fell a little short. So that's a good selection. And here's my shock and awe selection. And this is not a shock based on his last year, but Matt Lee might make a run at it this year. I think we've got a new Matt Lee on the board, and he's ready to keep the momentum rolling. And I think it would be a big surprise to him, to the fans. But if there's anybody capable that is a long shot, it's Matt Lee. And so I'm going to have him on my list as making a good run at the top points leader this year. So he's on my list. Jacob Prosnick is next, and then Brandon Pallnick. And look, Van Dam won it back-to-back a couple years ago. Well, it's been 6-7 years, Ronnie. You'll have to check me on that. But been a while since we've had a back-to-back AOI. And this season, Ronnie, sets up for Brandon Pallnick again. Wouldn't you agree?
I feel like every season could set up for Brandon Pallnick because he has really evolved as an angler. I'm really impressed with his pre-planning, not just in fishing, but in his whole media company. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's probably thinking the second he won the trophy and stepped off the stage, went to dinner with his family, he already probably had a pen and paper ready for the next season because he has so many logistics that other anglers don't even have to worry about. So I like that his head's always in the game. It's always fishing. So I like that pick as well. And I would not be surprised if he went back-to-back because, like you said, he gets in those momentum. A lot of these anglers like momentum, and he's one of those guys that, man, I need a 6-pound smallmouth with 5 minutes left at Mille Lacs, and he does it. You know, so it's just he puts himself around him all year.
He's got a nose for it. He's no rookie by any means when it comes to the winner's circle and obviously winning Angler of the Year in 2017, a tremendous ambassador for the sport, and also a stand-up guy that I think everybody likes. So I think he's a solid choice across the board, and not just for those reasons, but because he's good with a rod and reel in his hand on any color of water, east to west, north to south. So I think it's going to be tough to beat him again, but the other guys that we mentioned are strong as well. And, of course, as with any tournament, any season, any Bassmaster Classic, before takeoff each day, before weigh-in each day, it's anybody's tournament. And that's the beauty of bass fishing. We don't know. We really have no idea. We can make educated guesses, but it's a great sport for a surprise. And I think it's just one of those continued things that makes us love the sport as much as we do. So, Ronnie, hey, this has been fun. We're going to get back into this fantasy fishing grind. We're going to see how we do. In fact, we've set up a group for just our pundits, which includes Jim Sexton, Pete Robbins, Coy Greathouse, Ronnie Moore, myself, so that we can see week to week, tournament to tournament, how well we're doing against each other. And hopefully that's going to be me at the top looking down at these competitors, telling them I was the best. Fat chance, right?
I like it.
It's confidence. Anyways, Ronnie Moore, thanks for being here. From Jim Sexton, this is Thomas Allen. You've been listening to Inside Bassmaster. If you like this show, please rate it on iTunes. Please share it with your friends. And, hey, check out Bassmaster Radio. It is also archived on Bassmaster.com, so you can pick up past episodes of that as well. Thanks for being here. We'll catch you next time.